Well, this pandemic never ceases to amaze, never ceases to throw up things we haven't thought about. Here's one for you. What about if the travel restrictions means it's changed all the ways you need to pay tax and declare your income? Yeah? You don't think it sounds like a thing? I didn't either. Nicola Valentine from CKLG Accountants, though, she knows all about this and she's on the line. Nicola, hello.
Good morning, how are you doing?
I'm good, but I'm amazed by this. Talk me through what the potential problems can be and who's affected.
Well, I think it's safe to say that we all didn't expect this to be going on quite as long as it has.
But, sure.
Travel restrictions have actually had a slightly unintentional impact on some people's working patterns and where they work and which country they work in, for example. We wanted to bring it to people's attention, really, to just be having a think about, has the fact they've been locked down in the UK or overseas or changed their working patterns actually changed their tax filing requirements in the UK and also internationally? Something they need to be thinking about. Obviously, we all expect this sort of temporary lockdown measure to only be for a couple of months, back a year ago. Mm-hmm. But given that it has gone on for quite such a long time, that whereas before it may have been a couple of months or a few days that you were working in the wrong place, for some people, it's meant they couldn't travel to, say, Europe if they were internationally mobile and working in two countries. And that could have a knock-on effect on how they file their taxes for the next year.
Right. But, I mean, are we just talking about people who run their own businesses here? Or are we talking about people who are employed? Because I can see there's two scenarios. That is, Brits are working, who usually would work abroad, and foreign nationals who are in the UK at the moment. So let's start with Brits who work abroad. Let's say I work for a German company. Is there a difference between me working, actually being an employee of that German company based in Berlin, or as a contractor, I would normally contract an invoice? Are there differences in the ways that the tax offices would look at that?
There are differences, and there are differences of whether you're employed or self-employed. But one of the things you need to look at, and one of the things that the tests look at, is where you're actually carrying out your duties. If you're actually carrying out your duties in the UK, but you're doing all of your work for a German company, that could have implications for you. And it could also have implications for your German company, which is employing you whilst you're living and working in the UK. So internationally mobile employees is a very complex area, as is the same for sole traders, and they would need to take quite bespoke advice to look at their situation. But for some people who've been doing the same for years and years and years, they've always been working for a German company, maybe, say, doing a couple of days in the UK, a couple of days overseas, and balancing that out, having then spent the entire year in the UK could quite radically change their filing requirements in the UK.
Okay, and now let's flip that over and talk about foreign nationals who are based in the UK. Is it pretty much the case that those same rules will most likely apply because they're suddenly a German national working in the UK? He would presumably traditionally pay his tax in Germany. Now he's in the UK. We want a slice of that cake, do we?
Yeah, the pie works. It works both ways. It swings both ways there. So you could end up with more filing obligations in Germany. You could end up with more filing obligations in UK. So from UK tax perspective, we look at your UK residence and we use the legislation called the statutory residence test. This basically applies and looks at your residence position by applying sequential tests of the number of days you spent in the UK, your working patterns in the UK, the number of work days you spent here, and also where you have a home. So it's not just about your working days. It can also depend on where you have homes in both countries. But definitely, if you're working in both countries, there could be a filing obligation in both countries.
Right. Let's talk about time frames now, because let's assume this is news to a lot of people. I'm thinking it possibly is. If you're a German national and you've been working in Cambridge and you've been sort of staying in some sort of rented apartment or something in Cambridge for the past year because you can't go home, do you have to? You've presumably got to register and get yourself a UK government gateway ID and go through all those. Are there times and deadlines that we're watching out for? Do you need to get on and do stuff?
We wanted to bring this up now because obviously the 2021 tax year has just ended in April. So now's the time to be thinking about whether the last year has given you a filing obligation for the 2021 tax year. If you do have a UK tax liability, for those who aren't aware, the UK operates a self-assessment system. So it's for you to notify HMRC that you have a chargeable tax liability. You would need to register for self-assessment by the 5th of October if you have a tax liability for 2021. So then the filing of the tax return has to be done by January. But we really encourage people not to leave it to the last minute. If you think you may have a filing obligation, then you really need to sort of think about this sooner rather than later and not just leave it right up until the wire.
What about if people just choose to ignore that? So if someone says, well, I'm not doing that, I'm not going through all that nonsense. I mean, can they be prosecuted?
Eventually you could be. You are legally required to keep your tax filing obligations up to date. So if you do, burying head in the sand is a nice idea. It does just defer the problem later down the line, and penalties and interest will be charged if you don't file tax returns and notify HMRC of your chargeable liabilities on time. You could also find that you end up in a difficult situation with your overseas jurisdiction. If they're trying to tax you on the income that you're also taxed in the UK, you might be entitled to a repayment in one country and not the other.
Right.
It's not acceptable to just say, well, I paid tax on that in France or Germany. You have to be paying tax in the right country on the right income. HMRC won't just accept, oh, I paid tax overseas. Well, that's nice. We want our slice of the pie. So, you do need to make sure that you are paying the right amount in the right country.
Right. And you picked up on an interesting point there. So in doing this, in getting yourself registered in the UK, if you're a foreign national working in the UK, in registering yourself with, let's say, the German authorities, if you're a Brit working in Germany, you are saying, look, you're not going to wind up, you shouldn't wind up paying tax twice. You should get a refund if you've been taxed on in the wrong country. So it's just making sure the slices of the pie go to the right customer.
Yes. So you don't want to be serving chocolate cake to the person who asked for cheesecake. No, you need to make sure the right pie is going to the right person. There is the double taxation agreements that the UK has in place with each country. These aren't affected, as some people think they're going to be affected by Brexit. They're not affected by Brexit. The UK has its own agreement with each individual country already in the first place to mitigate double taxation. So if there is a situation where both countries, you may fulfil the residency requirements of two countries, in which case the double tax agreement provides a tiebreaker situation where it decides which country should get taxing rights on that to mitigate double, to prevent you having to pay tax in two places. Usually that works in each tax agreement with each country is slightly different and bespoke, but generally it works that if you're paying tax in one country, you get a credit in the other for the tax you've paid. But as I say, you do need to be paying the right tax in the right country in the first place.
That sounds very fair. And just to be clear, just in case people go, right, okay, I'm going to start and do this now, I'm going to start and register, I'm going to start filling in all the forms, HMRC are kind of clear about this. It's not going to, then the government isn't going to turn around and go, oh yeah, we hadn't thought about that. Tell you what, let's not do that. They're not going to suddenly change things. This is the way it's being dealt with, is it?
No. So under the statutory residence test, which is the UK residence tests, they do have a clause for exceptional circumstances. So when you're doing your day counting criteria, if you've spent more time in the UK due to exceptional circumstances, now usually that's because you have conditions beyond your control where you couldn't physically leave the UK, such as you fell ill or a member of your immediate family fell ill or died or something. They do take exceptional circumstances into account and disregard some of those days to say, well, up to 60 days can be counted as exceptional circumstances. Now, right at the start of the pandemic, the government did say, we recognise that COVID is an exceptional circumstance. And they did actually specifically say there are four cases where they would class COVID-related things to be exceptional circumstances, such as if you are quarantined or advised to self-isolate in the UK, advised by an official government advice not to travel from the UK, you're unable to leave due to border closures, or you're asked by your employer to temporarily return to the UK. But in all of these instances, you must demonstrate that you actually physically tried to leave afterwards. But again, the 60-day limit is the maximum amount that you can say that those conditions gave you exceptional circumstances. Now, back in March 2020, when we were only like a month into this, 60 days seemed like a good time. But obviously, having gone on for a year, they haven't extended that. And understandably so, if people have physically been living in the UK for the entire year, they have been here and they have been resident, and whilst it's unfortunate that you know, that has been the case. Just wanted to touch very briefly, if I can, on other impacts that it can have, not only just on your immediate filing requirements, but having a year of UK residence can also have an impact, A, on your income tax and capital gains tax liabilities if you've had income and disposed of assets that would then be taxable in the UK. But it can also have a longer term impact. If you're resident this year and you're not resident next year, you may still have a kind of a 2-year tail to get rid of this year's residence to not then count in the future. So it is important that people do review their residence position, because it could have a knock-on effect for longer term in getting rid of it. But also, people who are not domiciled in the UK, it can count towards your years of residence, because when you've been here for 15 out of 20 years, you get deemed domiciled here. So it can have a knock-on effect on other things as well. So it is really worth not just thinking, oh, it was a one-off year, next year we'll go back to normal. It could have a longer impact.
Okay. I mean, we always say, even with sometimes what seems like the simplest of things, you know, best to take advice on this one. But here I can really, right, this is one where you really should be talking to a tax expert, isn't it?
Absolutely. There's no one-size-fits-all answer for anybody on this one. It's so bespoke, and it will literally be tailored to your personal circumstances and your exact movements and dates that you spent in the UK, not just this year, but the last couple of years as well. So it is one you really do need to take advice on for your personal situation.
My goodness. One more thing that this pandemic never ceases to give and amaze, does it? Nicola, lovely to catch up with you. Thanks very much indeed for explaining it. I'm sure a lot of people now are going, oh, hang on a minute, that sounds like me. Nicola, thanks ever so much for talking to us today.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.